Welcome to BFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. We're so encouraged that you've joined us here today, that we get to reveal the things, the awesome things the Lord is revealing to us, God's news behind the news, and so much more. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to BFN Radio. Joining me today is the producer of BFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
The Saints fan.
There's another one right over there.
Lord, transfer that loyalty to you. And hopefully sometime today when he looks up from his busyness, Chris.
Hello.
Well, we are going to be talking about Israel has to defend itself just like it said it would, passing the line, having to strike these chemical weapons, and what does that mean in the context of things. And I also want to talk about, you know, don't hinder your access to heaven. You know, you can hinder your access to heaven, which basically means prevent yourself from getting in. Also, so many things are taking place. The adversary is doing everything he can to snuff out the human race. The value of what's created in the likeness and the image of God. Yes, you, your children, your marriage, your family. But cheer up, God created family. He's focusing on it, the adversary is, because it's so powerful and so important. Don't give up, because God hasn't given up. Also, we're going to be talking about militant Islam, what's taking place in Nigeria, the most persecuted, they're calling it the killing fields now for Christians in Nigeria, and a perspective of Islam. We've got to get this perspective of Islam. We're going to look at Christianity versus Islam, the Bible versus the Quran. Muslim Brotherhood 101. We're going to do a whiteboard explanation, A, B, C, how simple it is to understand that it is an anti-Jesus, anti-Son of God, Jesus, religion. It's the anti-Christ and anti-Christ religion. Yes, they say Jesus is a prophet, but they don't say he's the Son of God. Yes, you're listening to VFN Radio. We're going to talk also, hopefully, in the extra hour about faith. It's to stop believing in what you see and to start seeing what you believe. Yeah, that's what Catherine Kuhlman stated. And I just want to encourage you that we're called to walk by faith and not by sight. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And joining me to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And Chris.
Hello.
Here we are. What a wonderful, wonderful time that we just had gathering with believers, and believers are gathering all around the world and celebrating just coming together and the teachings of Jesus. And we're talking about some of the things we talked about last week about who's the greatest in the kingdom of God. And it was just such a perspective. If you missed that, you've got to catch it. You've got to go to VFNTV.com and go to VFNTV and just look for who is the greatest in the kingdom of God, the greatest, the least, and not at all. And Jesus talks about it. It's the Constitution. We talk about the Constitution of America. We got to get, you know, Constitution means this, what we're made up of. And that's why people are against the Constitution, because they want to change what we're made up of. Mm-hmm. But okay, let's just set that aside for a moment, because we're not going to have that anyway if we don't get back to the Constitution of the Church, which is the Sermon on the Mount. What does God say that we're made up of? What did Jesus communicate to us when he sat down on and gave the Sermon on the Mount about how we're to be and how we're to live? And this is just part of that. This is part of our Constitution. And so we need to be great in the kingdom of God, but it's not great like you think it would be great. And you're going to find out if you go in and listen to this teaching on VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com on your menu. In the middle up there, you'll see real small in the middle, it says VFN TV. And you hit that and it comes to, and you're going to be able to see, you know, we're working with all those things right now.
I'm working on it.
You're working on it? Yeah, right. And, and also, the torch is to the right. It's a small thing on the far right over there. Anyway, so anyway, that find out how to be great in the kingdom of God, and you'll be really surprised. And find out who's considered least. And then find out who may be considering they're in the kingdom of heaven. By the way, this is greatest in the kingdom of heaven, least in the kingdom of heaven, and not in the kingdom of heaven at all. And Jesus reveals that to us in his words. And hey, it's a good thing to find out instead of just assuming, right? I was assuming that I was going to be in heaven. I was assuming that I was great. You know what I'm saying? That's America. That's like, you know. Anyway.
Right.
Right. All right. No. That's not great. That is not great. Hopefully we'll get a chance to be able to talk about the Constitution as well. Going back to the original intent, Well, I do want to say that I had an epiphany.
You okay?
Yeah, it was a moment. It was a moment that when I was checking to see if my shoes were untied or not, and then I had to get a mirror to find out.
If they were down there.
They were down there, right. I just had to have faith that they were down there. No, it's not like that. But, you know, you just get to that point, literally. You know, this is a mounting of obstacles there, that you have to say, you know what, I am going to, by God's grace, in view of his mercy, begin to resize myself.
That sounds painful.
Yeah, well, you know, Pat's just challenging this, isn't he, Chris? I mean, he's coming in here. He squeaks when he walks now. You know, he's like running in place when we're on the radio, just trying to just sweat things off. And it's like, you're really making this feel really bad.
Really bad.
Really, really, really bad. When he eats, he's like a quarter of a sandwich or something with a piece of lettuce on it or something. Right. He chews on it really long.
I know, I've seen the size of those sandwiches, but they are.
How does that work? We need to eat less.
I know it. You know? And he's like, he eats. I can't tell you how many times a day he eats.
But come on.
It's a lot. Look, he eats way
but
more.
But if you
than
add
I
it
do.
All up, it's, you know, that's insignificant.
It must be. And Chris and I are deceiving ourselves somewhere along the line.
Somewhere I'm lost.
Trying to figure this out, you know. Somebody says, well, I eat salad bars. Have you seen a salad bar lately?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It's like, anyway. So, I appreciate all your prayers out there as I take this journey of following the doctor's orders, which you probably heard years ago when I talked about it. I've decided now is the time. What happened, instead of losing that weight, I just lost the doctor.
Got me another one.
Yeah, well, actually, I did. I didn't do it intentionally. I mean, he got transferred, and I have a new doctor. He's a good doctor. He just came back from being in Afghanistan, serving over there, and he's back. He's a good doc. And the way I work things out with him is I just don't go see him, and therefore everything's
okay.
You don't get any medical advice at all. It's amazing how that works. Yeah, I'm fine. So I got this little app now that you can measure the calories, how many calories you're eating, because you got to stay under a certain amount of calories, according to Pat, to be able to lose weight, like 3 calories a day, something like that.
Well, a little bit more than that.
4. And and so you got to write down, you just have to write down, I guess, the calories that you would eat or ingest. And really, I mean, obviously from my history, you know, I got a chance in the past to work with a trainer that way past, and ignorantly, we don't know about our food. We just don't know what we're eating, because right. Sometimes we're eating stuff and we're thinking, what's the big deal? This is just ice cream. and we don't realize how many calories are in like cheese or something, or tater chips sprinkled over cheese. Tater chips are evil.
They are very
calories.
Oh, they're terrible.
And if you have a chip in your mouth right now, Jesus loves you.
Lay it
don't
down.
Worry about it.
Step
put
away
it
from
down.
The bag.
Step away from the bag. Put it down. And you're only lying to yourself. And believe it or not, don't eat chips. So you count your calories, and so you would have to write that down. But now they have an app for that. And yeah. You point it at yourself, take a picture, and it says, you're fat. No.
You scan yourself.
You scan yourself. which it's like, oh, my goodness. You got to be careful. You never know what these phones are going to do. It's totally amazing. So I just have, if there's any, anyway. So the, but, you know, I remember this app, you know, years ago when it was first getting started. It had an abacus thing in it and stuff to be able to slide little stones over when you'd eat something. But now it's so efficient that if you have a barcode on the side of a package, what you're about to eat, you just snap it and it knows what you're eating.
Yep.
And how many you're eating of that stuff, which is great, because that's the big thing, is trying to take the time to write that stuff down.
Exactly.
And so I started and embarked on this journey. So if I want to find out what's happening with Eddie. I know Eddie's on insanity. He's doing the insanity thing.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. I mean, he's been real quiet about it, but we'll see soon.
We will.
We'll see soon when he's on the beaches down here. He's like, how's the insanity going? And, you know, I was just thinking,
I want a sailboat. I want to be able to sail in the Gulf of Mexico. Wow. And a small one. Just real, like, about, like...
We had one when we were kids. Remember that?
Yep.
I should get out of Dodge. I should remember on that. Second Street?
Yeah.
Oh, was it like a sunfin or something?
It was, wasn't very big.
Yeah.
Like 14-footer.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. I don't know what it would be called, but it's just to get on the beautiful water out there. Don and I were traveling this weekend, and we came over a body of water at some point. And it's just such so peaceful. The second you come out of all whatever's going on in the land and stuff, and you come over a bridge and there's water on both sides of you, it's just so peaceful. Something serene about, I mean, think about the glassy sea, you know, in heaven.
What's cool about those, they don't break down.
They don't, yeah.
Like motors, man.
Right. I'm going to go get some gas. Stuff from the store. Get on the sailboat. We're going to go to the store.
No fuel.
Just wind. And, yeah, I really thought about that. So I'll be looking for one that's, you know, fairly about 14 foot, I'm thinking. Something like Jim had.
Something you can handle by yourself.
Yeah. Well, I had a story, you know, years ago, we used to live on the beach, and Daphne, my sister, and I, when we were younger, rented a sunfin. I think it was like a sunfin, maybe a little bit bigger than a sunfin. And we got on the bay, the Pensacola Bay, and we were going to just sail across the bay because we've been living on the island. So what's the big deal? It's just a little kite with a boat on it. Mm-hmm. And we got on, we rented the sailboat, and we got on the water, and we sailed perfectly. Straight out. Just like 90 miles an hour. It's like, this is great.
Right to the Gulf.
We would hit the bridge, probably wouldn't do that. But it just straight out. And it's like, oh my goodness, this is wonderful. And then we realized we don't know how to go to the right. We don't know how to go to the left. We don't know how to turn around. We can just go straight, like when we were diving that time.
Right.
And so we had to, we tried to spin that puppy. We tried to tic-tac it, you know, all these different things that they supposedly said. And then we were over all the seaweed, nasty stuff. And as a kid, your imagination's going wild. Like, I can't get out here. We can't walk it here. And finally, we just pulled it up on shore on the other side of in another city. And I stayed with the sailboat, and Daphne walked all the way over the bridge.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and came back and got the folks. And she's probably laughing when we're talking about this. And they came and got the boat. It was pretty tragic. So obviously I'm going to need some lessons, but my doctor told me that he would teach me. He would teach me. He says it's real peaceful, and it's a great, you know, a stress releaser. And it's pretty cool to be on the water out there. I remember once we were swimming as kids, and that was a perfect life. I wish I would have known how to enjoy it better back then.
I know.
Right? Life works backwards, right? The frontal lobe don't develop till you're like 25. Mm.
Yep.
You can't really appreciate things.
Yep.
And every day I would get up, come home from school, and I would be on an island. I'm like Flipper. I mean, this is like I'm on the island every day. And I would go swimming, and we'd do all these different things together. But I would have enjoyed it even better. And it was amazing how many friends we had when we lived on the beach, because everybody would come over and visit.
Yeah, right.
We didn't realize that we were the beach house. That's why they were actually coming.
Imagine that.
The beach house. So that's my excursion, and losing weight and getting a sailboat by God's grace.
Great plan.
Yes. Either that or the thing we were talking about. Anything. As you're watching society, it's just like, you know, give me a break. You know, give me a break. And I want to be able to be in the bottom of a sailboat sleeping while the storms of life happen.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? I just want to, just prophetically, because everybody is not paying attention. People are being, it's like, blindly stupid. And this is like, okay, I'm just gonna go lay on the bottom of the boat. I'm just gonna sleep on the bottom of the boat.
You can go off the cliff if you want.
Yeah, too. And everybody's just screaming hard, care us not that we perish. It's like, why are you talking to God now? He's been talking to you for 20 years now. You hadn't said nothing, and now you're going to talk to him when the storm's coming. Listen, they're coming. They are coming so much. We were just talking about that. I've been seeing this vision. Is that in my spirit now? This is I don't know, but this is what I'm seeing, is that Satan will not be satisfied, and you can account for those that are held captive by him to do his will, until every single child that's even thought of is destroyed, that every marriage is destroyed, every form of gender is destroyed, everything that God says is good is called bad. And anybody that raises their head and waits too late, they'll be bait. They'll just come and devour the ones who stand for righteousness. This is the difficult thing that's going on. This is what I mean. Communion is what you take. You know, he said, do this in remembrance of me. He would take the bread and he would break it and he would put it on the, he would just pass it and they would eat it and they would eat the bread and say, this is my body broken for you. And this is what we all do. And then we would drink the wine. And he said, this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant. And they would drink that. So communion is what we do as Christians to remember Jesus and his finished work on the cross. Well, they're not going to be satisfied until printed on the communion wafer the words plan B. I mean, they're giving abortion pills to 15-year-olds on the store counter right by the aspirin. I mean, why do you want to kill the child's baby at 15? They don't even know. Why don't you just raise it? I was listening to a spoken word out of England, and some people would call it rap, but really it's a poetic spoken word and music. And he was talking about, yeah, you criticize us, talking about young people, you criticize us for and tell us not to abort our children, but then you shame us for having a child as a teenager.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's, you know, that's all demonic. It's like, come on, let's just get back to how it really was, that if, you know, God is the one, the creator of life. And then when a child is conceived, birth it and raise it in God's way. Mm-hmm. And you can't be on both sides of that equation, you know, shaming people and criticizing people who are being tempted to take their child's life. At the same time, gossiping and finger pointing at the child that decides to have, or the person who decides, that single mother who decides to have. And which one, which side are you going to be on? Because if you're on both sides, you're on Satan's side. Mm-hmm. You know, and you have to realize that, look at the Word of God, read about, and there's a reason why God had everybody, all of his people written about in the Word, so we can find out that we're all broken people, that we've all made mistakes. I mean, think about it. The wisest man that ever lived, Solomon, the son of David, came from the beginning of his parents' relationship was enveloped in adultery and murder. It was King David fell to temptation when he saw Bathsheba, and Bathsheba was Uriah's wife, another man's wife. Mm-hmm. And he just wanted, and he's supposed to have been at war. And this is where, and this is why, let me tell you why you're getting in so much trouble. Because we're out here alone. If you'll come out here and help us, if you'll get on the front lines, because we're at war now, spiritual war, that you won't, but David was supposed to be at war. But instead he was, this is where bondage and captivity happens, when you are not on the front lines of war. That's where critics come in. That's where the people come back. Well, I don't like the way, what do you, you know, where are you? You know, type of thing, criticizing people, how they're actually, and you're doing nothing, you know? And so, I'm not, anyway, so,
Right.
And so Solomon, the wisest man, the one that wrote the book of most of the Proverbs, Song of Solomon, that he built the temple of God where God dwelt, that his parents were adulterers and his dad was a murderer. Mm-hmm. But yet, he was a man after God's own heart, whose lineage where Jesus comes from. And if you saw who sat around King David's table, you would see a whole bunch of broken people. People that have been, all these things that happened to them. And that's us. Mm-hmm. And so what we do is, what, wherever we are at the time when we find God, we find out that we're in sin, even though we were walking with God, that we turned away from God, and we find out, we realize that, hey, we got to turn back to him. He'll take us as we are at that moment.
Right.
You know, and that's how we have to work that out. Now, we don't try to say we're following God and using the world's principles when we follow God by following God's principles. And with that, you'll find out the true people who want to follow God or not. But he empowers us to be able to do that. And so if that's where King David and Bathsheba, who bore a son, their first son died, by the way, And if he would have died before they got married, they may never have been married. I mean, think about that. If if Uriah was at war, and what happened was that David had committed adultery with this man's wife. The man was a soldier for him at war. And he finds, she comes to him later on and says, I'm pregnant. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many Christians begin to look down and just say, it's over. You know, I can't believe you've done this. And just all these different crazy things, like they're righteous in their own works.
Right.
And so he begins to take that same kind of mindset. And he starts thinking, how can we work this out? So he brings Uriah back, and the husband of Bathsheba, and says, you know, go back in from the war, go back and sleep with your wife, and just take a break. Well, he was so dedicated to King David. He's like, I can't, and the soldiers out in the field, I said, I cannot. And wouldn't that be great if people were that dedicated to God?
Amazing.
That they would say, you know what? I cannot receive any self-pleasure at all as long as I know my brother's on the front line fighting. I have to be there with him and with her, my sister and the Lord. And so, and I believe that day's coming. And he wouldn't do it, which obviously, if she's pregnant, he's going to try to make it look like it's Uriah's baby. Mm-hmm. And how many times we have the temptation to say, when we sin or we make mistakes, to try to do like Adam and Eve, and just start trying to cover it up and just take it to God and say, you know, I've failed, I made a mistake, I've sinned, and, you know, forgive me. And eventually that doesn't work. So long story short, he just basically sends orders out to Joab, the head general, and says, listen, put Uriah on the front line. Trying to cover his own sin, he had another man killed. Mm-hmm. But think about that. How many people hate someone so bad? Because he says hating is murdering, right? Mm-hmm,
right.
And what they're really trying to do is cover up their stuff. And just instead of saying, hey, you know, I've sinned and I've fallen short, God, I need your help. And so he had him killed, you know, which I think is a pretty cool general too, because he didn't question the orders.
Yeah.
But God knew what was happening. And so later on, God sends Nathan, a prophet, and tells him, you know, why would you have done such a thing? And then, of course, David issues justice, how this is how it should be done. And then Nathan says, well, that's cool, because this man's you. And at that moment, he fell to his knees. He realized, against you and you only have I sinned. It was murder. It was adultery. His wife was pregnant with a baby early on, and lost that baby, and even prayed to God for that baby. And just a mess. And understanding that's who we are. We're just a mess.
That's right.
But if we turn to God, he empowers us, he forgives us, he restores us, and somehow through his amazing empowerment, he empowers us to be able to walk rightly before him. We can take no credit for it, but that's how you know when somebody knows God or not, because they're able to walk in obedience to God, because Jesus empowers them through his Spirit and their total dependency on the finished work of the cross of Christ. And they're able to walk out with a religious person can only do on the outside, but can't do on the inside. It's a powerful, powerful thing. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back after these messages.
Does a public school teacher have the right to tell their students that the Bible is untrue? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My daughter is in social studies in her class, and her teacher decided to tell the class that some stories about Jesus are untrue, and I didn't know if he had the right to make that kind of a statement in her class.
Actually not. By saying they're untrue would be infringing on your free exercise rights and your ability to direct the child's upbringing. And there's a lot of constitutional implications here that are actually very serious. And what I need to do is get you in touch with our lawyers at the American Center for Law and Justice. We need to get an apology from that teacher so that the teacher and doesn't leave the impression with your daughter that this is somehow going to be sanctioned. She needs to say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have said that. We need to get that policy changed and find out exactly what's going on. But certainly was an inappropriate comment.
The American Center for Law and Justice is dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
I want to encourage you, you know, if you feel like you had a call on your life, you feel like you just want to get closer to God, you're ready to get a better perspective, a deeper perspective, you just want to walk with God, you know, you want to be close to him, you want to love God and love others and lead others to the same. You know, it's so important
to learn the ways of God. It's so important to not just, you know, give your heart to God, which is ultimately important, but then you have to learn his ways. He says, those who follow my teachings are really my disciple. The dangerous thing about not learning his ways will end up following some ways that are not his ways. And eventually we could be led astray. Don't be led astray. You can register today for VFNU.org. It's Vine Fellowship Network University. If you feel like you're called into leadership, you feel like you want to go deeper in God. And also join us at the VFN family, you know, VFNfamily.org. Find out if that's for you. Find out if you're called to connect with and relate with believers who are abiding with God and just desire to follow God in that. But it's a VFNU for VFN University, VFNU.org. I know you don't know a lot about football, Pat, but
right,
you know, I don't know if you know Tom Landry. He was a coach for Dallas,
right? The Cowboys. Right,
Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know that.
You are Googling up over there, aren't you? Anyway, so you're Googled up.
I'm Googled up.
Anyway, this is what he said. He said, you know, you have all these players, football players. For those that don't know, it's a football team, and they want to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
That's the goal.
Oh, now you're looking like you know everything. Okay. So then they want to win the Super Bowl. And so, but he's the coach and he has to lead them to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He has to coach them. He has to get them. He has to help them work as a team because you cannot get it if you're not a team.
Right.
And you got to get together. Mm-hmm. And so he said this. He said, I have to get them to do what they don't want to do to have what they always wanted to have their entire life.
Right.
Isn't that powerful?
That is powerful.
The coach said this. Coach Landry said this. He says, I have to get these players to do what they don't want to do to have what they always wanted to have their entire life.
Mm.
And you have to understand, when it comes to the things of God, your flesh doesn't go, woohoo, I'm going to fast. You know, I'm not going to eat for a week, you know,
right,
or
right.
It doesn't say, oh, this is so great. I'm going to deny what my flesh wants, you know.
Right.
And Jesus said in John 15 that we have to abide with him. We have to hang out, remain in him, spend time with him, you know, abiding with him, which means, you know, spending time with him, reading his word, hiding his word in our heart, listening to what he's saying or impressing on us to do and doing it. So we have to, and we do that, we can be fruitful, and we're called to be fruitful. Mm-hmm. But our flesh is sort of like, you know, Coach Landry's talking to our flesh, and he says, you know, and I'm saying, you know, to you that, you know, we're going to have to get you to do, your flesh to do, what it doesn't want to do, so that your spirit man and your heart and your destiny, things that you always wanted to come to pass, come to pass.
Right.
And we have a simple plan for you, a plan that begins to progressively take you on that journey, the same way that he was taking his football team. You can actually begin on a journey with Jesus Christ that he will take you to a place into your destiny if you abide with him. Your flesh is going to go, no, I don't want to do this. But your spirit man is going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. You know, everybody really wants their destiny in God like that. They want to walk with God, right, Pat?
That's right.
But you need a simple plan to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We have a simple plan for you. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and you can read through that, request a free, a simple plan for free, and begin today. Just commit to 6 weeks. Commit to 6 weeks.
Right.
And just watch what God does. A set time, set place. All that's there for you. Simple little way to do it. No cost involved. Just you, Jesus, your Bible, and a journal.
Right.
And you can find out more at iabide.org. That's iabide.org. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and Chris in the first hour today. We're just talking about the reality, how that, you know, we are broken people reaching broken people to introduce them to a whole unbroken God who chose to be broken on the cross for us to take our place. It's just a powerful thing, and that we can't be on both sides of that equation of what we're talking about with criticizing someone and judging them for having a temptation to go have an abortion and kill their child,
and then criticizing them for having a child as a single parent or having a child as a teenager, for example. It's like, which side are you on? Are you on the child side? You're not on the child side if you're thinking, you know, that way.
Right.
The child side is like, hey, you're saying, you know what? I'm willing to raise this kid. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to raise this kid. And we need to get involved. We're going to be talking about, in the extra hour, about the government, the form of government. We're talking about the original intent. You know, what is, we're a federalist government. And, we're a democracy with a form of government called a federal government, which is the union of these states, 50 states. And we're going to be talking about that. And understand that your vote counts. You count. How you respond and your values count. And it'll encourage you, because a lot of things have to be changed in America if God allows us to remain this republic that we are. Then we need to... get involved. It's going to take time to do that, to begin to, you know, restructure things and put people in places that have values that agree with ours, that agrees with that. Let's don't kill our children. Let's keep marriage what God said it was, you know, and then let's live in marriage like God says it is. Let's don't say like we won something by just being married.
Right.
And it didn't work for Ahab, and it won't work for you. Right. Yeah. Nope. Actually, it's not, marriage is not the answer. Jesus is the answer.
That's right.
But first, I want to talk about, get a perspective of what's going on. And so many things are happening right now. I know that probably, you know, you may just be not listening to anything, but that's not good, because that's the end result. Once you give up your participation in society, you lose society. You know, I believe it was Dr. King that said, true evil is when good men do nothing or remain silent.
Right.
And we have to say something, because in the end, we're going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. That did we open our mouth? He says, listen, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before the Father. And so many people talk like, well, not, Jesus is going to let me in heaven. He's just going to be ashamed of me. No, that's not how it's going to happen.
Right.
Either he's the Lord of your life or he's not. And so when we're looking at the perspective, we're going to talk about what's happening with Islam around the world and what's happening in America. You know, we just had some radical Muslims up in Boston kill and maim, you know, Americans. Hundreds were just brutally damaged forever, and four were killed. An entire city was stopped. Mm-hmm. The entire federal and state and city governments were spent on resolving what basically two young radicalized Muslims who did this thing, because they were having, according to it's reported, they were having issues with what was happening in Afghanistan. And that's the region that they're not from Afghanistan, but, and it's like, you know what? But still, I mean, if a Christian is blowing things up, and they have done that, and there is history where the Crusaders, you know, did terrible things in the, towards people, you got to call it, you got to say that's wrong. You can't, you know, you say it's wrong. You stand up for that. And you think about, just think about this. I think about where CBN News was reporting that this Muslim Christian romance sparks a church attack in Egypt. The police fought with angry Muslims outside of a Coptic church, a Christian church in Cairo. This mob was throwing stones because a Christian man and a Muslim woman had a romance. Well, the woman is said to have converted to Christianity before they ran away to Turkey. And they're saying that this church had something to do with this whole romance. So now they're attacking this church. And it's like, wow. That's called getting saved. You know, it means that she gave her life to Jesus. And he was a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously you're showing why they had to flee. They had to flee because look what you're doing.
Exactly.
Look what's happening to Pastor Saeed and all the different people who are Christians. And it's like, the police had to use tear gas. Can you imagine your church? And listen, this is what we're doing in America right now. And I want to tell you, you know, God loves Muslims, and that's not what I'm not talking about that. God loves Muslims. God loves you. If you're a Muslim, you know, I believe that God loves you. And you can go to Who Does God Love on the VFN Torch, and you can hear, I believe, the right perspective of that. But God doesn't want you to kill anybody. Mm. He doesn't want you to kill. He died for you. And all this sensitive stuff about being sensitive to what we say and what we do. Listen, if you're killing, you know, there's no sensitivity needed there. You just need to say, that's wrong. You're going to go to jail. We're going to stop that, whatever it is. I mean, you have a right to be free in America, but not a right to harm people. Nor do you have a right to be able to promote harm against Americans or fellow Americans or Americans or the government. And I just think about right now, and this, I want to give you a perspective because it's happening all over the place. Anytime we try to partner with, what does light and darkness have to do with each other? That's the whole thing. They shouldn't even be hanging around each other. Definitely shouldn't say, you know, one, if it's true light, it's going to cancel out the darkness. They're going to conflict. But if it's not true light, then they can merge because they're both dark. Mm-hmm. But listen to CBN as they're talking about what's taking place right now in Nigeria, where they're calling it the killing fields. You know where they're killing? They're killing Christians. Listen up.
In a nation divided by religion, Muslim extremists could force a civil war. Hello, everyone. I'm George Thomas.
And I'm Wendy Griffith. Last year, more Christians were killed in Nigeria than in any other country. Senior international correspondent Gary Lane tells us why Nigerian believers are targeted and what can be done to help them.
Bombings like this one gave Nigeria the sad distinction of the nation with the highest Christian death toll. More than 900 Christians reportedly were killed in Nigeria last year, victims of the Boko Haram terrorist group and other Islamic militants.
They are so radical that they do not even spare Muslims. If Muslims are sympathetic to any cause at all, if they are sympathetic to the Christians' cause or the minorities' cause, they are also termed as, you know, infidels.
In 2013, radicals have killed more than 120 Nigerians, most of them Christians. Gregory Lahr is an international human rights attorney.
It is happening now at this time because there appears to be a new resurgence, a new Islamic awareness on the need to further propagate their religion.
Because of this wave of violence, various groups in southern Nigeria are taking up arms to protect the Christians. Attorney Emmanuel Ogebe warns the country may be on the brink of a broader conflict.
Because of the massive Christian-Muslim population in Nigeria, there's no country on earth that is as rich and ready for a religious war. All the elements, all the ingredients are there.
Ogebe spoke at a recent conference sponsored by the Washington, D.C.-based Jubilee Campaign. Some panelists criticized the U.S. State Department's reluctance to blame the violence in Nigeria on Islamic extremism.
The route they are taking is dangerous, it's against American interest, and it's not positive, it's not sensible. The ultimate aim of this is extremism. It's not just to wipe out Christians. It will hit back here ultimately.
For years, Islamic militants limited their attacks on Christians to the 12 northern Nigerian states where Sharia law is in place. Now they're pressing into central and southern states where Christians are in the majority. World Magazine reporter Mindy Bell says the pattern is all too familiar.
We've seen it happen in Sudan. We've seen it in Mali. We've seen it in parts of the Middle East and other parts of North Africa. When that happens, what is growing up in there are also the seeds of terrorism that is targeting the West.
So what is the solution to stop the attacks against Christians and others? Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan has proposed a possible amnesty for Boko Haram terrorists. Stefanos Foundation founder Mark Lipto says amnesty would be a mistake.
It goes to say that the government must have to succumb to the pressure of terror. And then we see that it will go in to reward the perpetrator to continue to carry out his carnage. That is wrong.
The problem has gone beyond Nigeria alone. It actually has its roots in Mali, in Libya.
So even if the Nigerian situation is well contained and the borders are not secure, you have not solved the problem.
Lipto suggests Christians united in prayer can make a difference.
What we see is disunity that has taken on the church. And so the voiceless are not being represented. But if we look to the person Christ and avoid all these differences and come together, we will be able to give a voice to the voiceless. And that is what we're called to do.
Gary Lane, CBN News.
This is so important because you're seeing people, you know, people say, well, this is what people are saying. This is what they're saying. Does it really matter? He said, Jesus said, you know them by their fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You know them by their fruit. And this is what's happening when it becomes radicalized and Islam begins to take over a nation. The Sharia law kicks in, which is the northern parts of Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
And then just through winning converts to Islam, you know, we're going to talk about that. What is the difference between Christianity and Islam? What is the contrast between the Bible and the Quran? And we're also going to talk about the Muslim Brotherhood that our leadership appears to have decided that they need to partner with the Muslim Brotherhood to accomplish their Middle East policies, these different things going on. But you have to understand who the Muslim Brotherhood is and what their creed is. And we'll be talking about that, a real simple explanation of the Muslim Brotherhood as well. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back. This is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light, light meaning the light of the world, and not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light.
Mm-hmm.
It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's doubtful. It's this Hitler-like type conversations or mm-hmm. Aryan-type conversations or Iranian or Muslim type conversations or political, which is type conversations, or you could listen to VFN radio and you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's word says about it and you can get a perspective and you go, hey, I can know things without being terrified. I can, mm-hmm. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church, and they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties, and they like the whole scheme of the thing, and then they're coming into the churches, and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand. And as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light. We're going to be releasing this week on VFN TV, This Generation. Go to VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com. This is VFN Radio you're listening to. Go to VFNTV.com and go to VFN TV in your menu, and you'll see a prophetic teaching about this generation. It's called This Generation. And it's time for us to wake up and respond. And it's going to encourage you because it's going to give you a perspective that if not, the things that we won't give up now, God will have taken away from us.
Mm-hmm.
He'll look, and there's raiders coming in as we speak, trying to raid the coffers, the government, the taxes, the freedoms, the Constitution, all these different things. But understand that God is allowing that. He's not doing it. He's allowing it to take place. It's his permissive will because of the choices that we've made. And he's intentionally allowing it. It's intentional. There's always somebody that wants to raid you,
mm-hmm.
but he's keeping them back. And then, you know, if we don't respond, it just escalates and gets worse in regards to that. Even being sold as a slave to your enemy. You know, slavery didn't start in America. Slavery's been around since day one. Even mm-hmm. Jesus said, you know, as Christians, you know, slaves obey your masters as unto the Lord. If you can get your freedom, get your freedom. So in the context of that, it was just an everyday conversation then.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to be sold to my enemy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't want to be sold to my enemy, but I can't be in rebellion to God and think that the end's going to be good. You know, and it may happen on an individual basis. You got to listen to this. Listen to it. It's called This Generation. And what it is that you have a pagan generation, but it's not unusual for a generation who has not yet received or didn't receive the gospel being transferred to their generation to be paganistic. But there's hope. There is hope, and God has a way to do that. Go to VFNTV.com and choose VFNTV on the menu and look for This Generation and begin to listen to it now and share it with your friends. It's a prophetic word for this day and this time. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and Chris. We're talking about Islam, trying to get a perspective of what's going on. But why is Nigeria, why are they, it's the killing fields for Christians in Nigeria. What's happening in America? And why are we befriending a people who has an ideology that says we want to destroy American, we want to destroy America, the Constitution, we want to destroy Christians, and we want to destroy Jews? Why would we want, why, that is not, that's not a peaceful, when you think about the Constitution that we talk about on the original intent, it's, you know, the whole purpose of the, when you think about the preamble to the Constitution, it says, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility. Well, listen, if you're hating America and you're hating the Constitution and you hate Jews and you hate Christians, you don't fit. You're violating the Constitution by doing that, right?
Right.
It'd be a constitutional violation. To ensure domestic tranquility, provide for a common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America. That's what it's about. So we're seeing, you know, how are we going to befriend an ideology that's against the very Constitution in which we stand for? And so important, because it does, these things that we're seeing take place in Nigeria right now, it's happening because of radical Islam. Radical Islam, which means this, they believe, you know, what is written down in the Quran. And they that's what you call radical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a moderate is they believe some of the things.
Like part of it.
Yeah. Like a backslidden Christian, you know. Yeah. Well, I don't believe all the Bible, but I believe some of the Bible.
Right.
And then a liberal Muslim would be considered an infidel to a radical, somebody who actually believed the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told, you know, by an attorney who, a Florida attorney who's worked in this particular arena, he says, the hope for America is a backslidden Muslim and a backslidden Christian.
Right.
And basically, that's what he said,
yeah,
right?
That's what he said.
That's what he said,
yeah.
Because somebody who doesn't go by the Quran, who calls himself a Muslim, and somebody who doesn't go by the Bible, who calls himself a Christian. Because it's dark and light. It's the opposites of each other. They're bipolar statements. You can't say dark and light at the same time. I mean, it's not going to come out gray. And so what is the difference? What is the difference between, and you need to go to VFNTV if you haven't yet, and watch the prophetic timely teaching called State of the Nation, Christianity, America, Islam, and Israel. You have to understand these things. He says that we're supposed to look and search out the signs of the times and what's taking place. If somebody who seeks to destroy America and harm our constitution and harm citizens of America, whether Christians or not, or Jews or not, that's not a person who needs to be in America. And it's not an ideology that can coexist in America, because if it's against, if it's against the Constitution, it's unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to begin to listen at a we're going to contrast Christianity and Islam, the Bible and the Quran, to be able to understand. And we may have to finish this in the extra hour, but listen up. We're just talking about right there, Secretary of State, Congressman Michelle Bachmann is talking about how that we've been infiltrated. Our government's been infiltrated by the Muslim Brotherhood, by Islam. They're purging everything to do through the FBI libraries, anything to do about radical Islam, just removing everything. And our representative government's shouting out there. And the question is, are we going to stand up for them? But we need to, you know, one thing we need to do, we need to find out, you know, what is the comparison? If you put the Quran, which is Muhammad's writings that he says he heard from God, he says Jesus, they do acknowledge Jesus, but they acknowledge him as a prophet, not the Son of God, that Jesus has to come back according to the Quran and repent for calling himself the Son of God. And then he will be the assistant to their God. You know, it's like, hello, you know, wow. And look at they're just dead set on destroying the Jews and the Christians. And it's like, why is that? It's just amazing what's taking place. So let's compare. And as you're hearing this, you can see it. We have it on a video for you. So you can say, okay, there's the Quran. There's the Bible. Here's the Quran. Here's the Bible. Go to VFNTV.com. You click on it. But listen up. We have a very limited amount of time to be able to do that. So you're going to come to the extra hour, the beginning of the extra hour. We're going to be able to have that contrast. You're going to hear firsthand. I'm going to give you just a little bit of it now. And you're going to hear the full thing in the extra hour. Listen up.
In a plot twist so strange, it's hard to believe, Christians, Jews, and Muslims all trace their lineage to the same man, Abraham, and their physical roots to the same place, Jerusalem. The religions believe in many of the same prophets, and even the basic framework of many key prophecies.
Obviously, you had Abraham, who's the father of Isaac and Ishmael. Now, on Isaac's side, he was the father of Jacob, who became Israel, and obviously that's the father of the Jewish faith. And then on the other side, you had Ishmael, and then you also had Edom, or Esau. And it was out of those individuals on that side of the Abrahamic family that many of the Middle Eastern nationalities derive from. Now, Muhammad, the founder of Islam, claims to have been a direct descendant 2,600 years after Ishmael.
It's interesting because we all share that common rootage. As a matter of fact, there is an exhibit at the New York Public Library called The Three Faiths, and three faiths all beginning with Abraham, so to speak.
Jews, Christians, Muslims all point to Jerusalem as the epicenter of their faith, and they all believe that that is where all history will wind up, in part because Abraham was touched by God there, was spoken to and communicated with God there.
All the three major religions, Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, believe in the return or in the coming of a Messiah that is going to bring peace, where peace is going to reign supreme on earth.
But who the Messiah is and how that peace is achieved is very much in dispute. The Jewish faith believes the Messiah will be human and will oversee a period of great transformation on earth.
There will be a resurrection of the dead. There will be the return of justice. There will be true peace amongst all peoples. The rebuilding of the temple will take place.
This is so important. What you're hearing is a contrast between Christianity and Islam, the Bible and the Quran. And obviously we're coming to the end of the first hour. So we're going to pick this up and you're going to hear it in its entirety in the extra hour. We got to understand what's happening. Why is there so much killing taking place of Christians and threats towards the Jews? What's taking place? We have to wake up. Don't ever forget. And you can find this article on the Torch. JJ, what is their response towards the Jews and Jesus, the Christians? Because that's how you find out what spirit they're of. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at BFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at BFNTV.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.
You know, John, I have been so encouraged listening to you and sharing your stories about Elijah and Isaiah and Maya and how you got to spend time with them at one of their baseball games, how encouraged they were with the fact that that you were just simply there. Your presence, just being with them, encouraged them. Tell me about that.
Well, that's cool, man. I can understand what you're saying because I feel that way when I know that God is near me.
Yeah.
You know, when I have a relationship with him and I know that he's present, he's not far away.
Mm-hmm.
He's not too far that is, you know, he can't reach out to me, not too far that his eyes are not always on me. And maybe you are listening today and you wish that you had a father to be in your life, or you wish that somebody was there to watch you. I want to tell you that you're not alone. Many of us have experienced the same things in our lives, and we wanted to know more about God ourselves.
Yeah.
But it was a journey. We were all on a journey. Isn't that right, Steve?
Absolutely.
And that journey brought us to a point where, you know what? I want to meet the Father.
That's right.
I want to meet Father God. And so some of us have shared our stories. You know, a lot of it's not pretty, but what is? But what it truly is, it's real.
Mm.
And if you're looking for a story, a real life story that would help encourage you, I want to ask you to find out more at meetmyfather.org, where real people have gone through real things to find the real Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. I've heard this once. I've heard it too many times. When I run into someone and they tell me, I just don't want to be part of a crowd. I just don't want to be part of another group. I don't want to be another number.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to go to an event. Mm. I want to experience God.
Yeah.
I want to enjoy fellowship with God's people. And I want to grow. I want to be a true disciple.
Mm-hmm.
I want to learn of his ways. I want to abide with him and spend time with him. And I want to hear God for myself. I'm no longer interested in being a spectator, but I want to get in the game.
Yeah.
I want to fulfill the great commitment. I want to fulfill the great commission, but I just don't see where I fit in the crowd. If that's you and you have a longing to fulfill the call of God in your life, if you have a longing just to truly be what God's called you to be, a son and daughter of God, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to be a part of a family that's not just spectating and watching others do it, but are actually doing it together, I want to encourage you, find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Steve, oh my goodness, how many times you're trying to explain Vine Fellowship Network? And like, really, how do you explain this awesome revelation? Well, so many people are talking to me and they want to know more because they're so attracted to being the church instead of going to the church. Well, that's why we have Vine Seminars. Vine Seminars is an awesome opportunity how you can begin to start seeing this progressive revelation that has just been shared by God, how it's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be, but how it truly is all about family and really fulfilling the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
I want to encourage you, get a chance and find out more at vineseminars.org.